Hey guys, you're listening to We Have Thoughts, and this is another episode in our Conversations with Oscar series. This time we're talking about Black Klansman. It was nominated for Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor for Adam Driver, Best Director for Spike Lee, Best Original Music Score, Best Adapted Screenplay, and Best Film Editing. Did I miss any?
Nope, that's all on my list.
I think it might have been my turn to intro, wasn't it?
No.
No?
You both done two.
Mm-hmm.
I legit don't even remember.
You did Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. No, you got them all, I think. I hope.
We finally got the list right.
And
no, you
Anna.
Missed Best Picture. No, I'm kidding.
But
I'm Anna, and this is about to be hosted just by me, because I'm going to kill my other two co-hosts.
This is about to be hosed? Is that what you said?
No, we're the sluts.
Oh, sorry.
This is Joy.
This is Crystal.
And we're the sluts.
And we're the sluts. We're already in it. Y'all, let's get into this.
This is the opposite of what we're doing, laughing.
So I see the title Black Klansman, I just like heavy sigh, because...
Heavy sigh, they're still around.
I was kind of nervous about watching this, because these aren't my kind of movies, and I'm not someone who this movie is for. I don't need to watch it. I know what's happening already. But I did, and it was a lot. Like, just to tell you, like, I had watched it, and because I rented it, and I'm sitting on the couch kind of just, like, staring out into space, and I, like, put my head in my hands, and then Joy walks into the room, and I'm, like, I'm just in tears. I was like, well, I just finished the movie.
And I was like, let's get you some ice cream. We need to fix you.
I had to, like, make you better. If I had gone to bed right after that, I probably would have been up all night. I'm so glad I watched, like, Parks and Rec before to sleep.
Yeah, I made her watch Parks and Rec because I was like, she's a wreck. And so we need to fix that.
So
it is not a good start when the first thing I see is Alec Baldwin.
That's what I wrote. I said, ew, bad start.
Ew, I also wrote ew. Why do I keep seeing his face everywhere?
He's everywhere.
I'm not into this.
Hollywood has a hard on for him.
Why? He's not talented.
He doesn't seem like he'd be the nicest person either.
No.
He seems like he'd be an asshole, but people would let him get away with it.
Because they do. Alec Baldwin.
I'm sure they do. I know. And that
he
sucks.
He reminds me of when he was doing that whole thing he was doing. I forgot his name, but he was like, just do it live, whatever. Oh. Remember that, whatever his name was? I don't even know. But he was, all that whole spiel he was doing.
One of the conservative.
It reminded me of him, because he was like yelling off camera to whoever.
I think that was the point.
Oh, was it? Okay, I don't know.
Think so. I think he was trying to mimic like some conservative host. There's too many.
Okay.
Totally unimportant, but on a lighter note, the chief of police who interviewed him, the white guy, he was on Gossip Girl.
I thought that was him.
That was Bart Bass. He was someone's dad.
He came on screen and I go, you look like someone who's played a guy named Frank before.
Was he in the episode that we watched? What, Christmas?
Yes. He was dating Lily when they were at the market in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, older, short hair, gray hair guy.
Wow, yeah. Okay.
And then another not so fun, well, I guess it's a fun fact, but the actor Frederick Weller Landers, who was the piece of shit cop.
Oh, gross,
the cop, I'm sorry.
He was in To Kill a Mockingbird on Broadway that I saw.
And really?
And he played...
another piece of shit person?
Yeah, he played Bob Ewell, the father that's... whose daughter's on trial, who was in the Klan, and super racist. So apparently he's such a good actor though, because I know he's played good guys before. I just thought it was like the last time I saw him, he was also playing racist. So
it's nominated for original score, and I listened to the score, and it's great. I love the whole. It's a lot of starts with that orchestra strings and all that, and then it like kicks in with electric guitar. So it's like, this is like a story, and here's like the twist that we have it with the guitar. It kind of reminded me of a lot of like marching band, like DCI. They have a lot of that same stuff too. Ah. They have like the march with the slower music and they kick in with the pit with the electric guitar. It gave it a lot of funk, but not too much.
Yeah.
It was a good marry of the two.
It's such an interesting theme throughout the whole thing, is that like the main character, Ron, he has to do so much code switching. It's so much about him being like, he's a cop, but he's also a black man. So he also has to, you know, fit in with his friends, but also fit in with the police force. And it's so much of like this back and forth of the duality of identity. And like he's one and he's also the other. So how does he make them exist?
It's very similar to, and we'll get there, to Green Book. We'll get there. First of all, John David Washington was fantastic.
He is great.
And I would have been okay with him giving a nomination of something.
Because he did in the, I think it was the SAGs. He was. And the Golden, or the Golden Globes. Either one. I already forgot. He did get nominated for that.
He
was great.
And I love how he is clearly a Hollywood legacy, but he's very much his own actor.
Yeah. He's so different from, because when I watched it the first time, I was like, I didn't even know that his dad was Denzel.
He doesn't look. Oh, okay. He doesn't.
They don't look alike at all.
Mm-mm. So it's very easy to forget that.
Yeah. And so when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this guy's, oh, he's interesting. And then I looked him up and I was like, oh, no way.
I think
so different.
If there's any similarities between them, they have the same type of charisma.
Yeah, they have that energy.
That
energy.
I just love how he's very much his own actor. I loved that. It was so good.
He's found his own like little style and stuff.
And everyone was great. Laura Harrier is great.
Oh my god, she was such a surprise. I loved that.
She looks so young.
Yeah,
she looks like a baby next to him.
Hold on, I think I wrote it down.
She's just a couple years older than me. Like she's like 28.
She's 28. Yeah, she's 28.
She's older than me.
She was born in 1990, and then John David Washington.
Yes, he's like 30.
Yeah, he was born in like 84. I was like, whoa.
No, wait. She looked like a high schooler. She did not look like she was in college. Like,
yeah. And she doesn't, I think maybe just, that's just her face. To him, she looked really young.
Because he does look a little bit more mature.
Yeah.
Just
like, and the fact that he had like an established career and she was.
And she was in college.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's true.
She was it was really interesting seeing them two together. Because I was like, I thought you were. Didn't you just date Spider-Man? Like.
Weren't you just in high school?
She did. She
you graduated and now you're in college?
You.
Okay.
You know, I really loved. Okay, so I'm just going to go to my next note. I liked the shots of the people in the audience whenever Corey Hawkins was talking.
Yes. The still shots of them.
Their portraits. It really was like portraits.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah.
That actually brings me to the next point. This movie is nominated for film editing. And of all of the ones we watched, I think I would put this one in the front for film editing.
Well, I mean, this beats Bohemian Rhapsody? Oh, my God. What do you mean?
Because it just, it put importance on what needed to be important.
Yeah.
And the shots were constructed very nicely. And it told the story really well in a way that it was like, it was a marriage of these two things of like him being this real person, but also someone else being a fake person.
Yeah.
And it the way that they flip back and forth between Ron and then fake Ron, the way they intercut those two together, it was so good. But yeah, the first shot that I saw that I was like, beautiful, is when their faces
you can like see them starting to agree with him in their eyes.
Yeah,
like they're feeling everything he's saying.
They're
becoming, see it in their face.
They're becoming enlightened.
Yes.
And empowered.
Wow. And it's like, oh, this is the beginning of that movement. This is where that starts, and this is how they did it.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful to watch. I think Spike Lee did a really great job of evoking that.
Yeah. And the film editing is Bohemian Rhapsody, Green Book, The Favorite, Vice, and BlacKkKlansman. So I'm going to agree with you.
And you know what? This one, which was the other one that stood out? I think The Favorite, too. Because The Favorite has to do, did we ever talk about this? It does a really good job of balancing three people, which is why I really wanted to know like screen time, because I was like, I don't know who got more screen time. Because the editing in that was really great too, but I think this
in terms of like artistic style, this would go over that.
I feel like with The Favorite it was more according to the script,
yes, and this
was
according
well done
to the,
but this was artistically the best
navigated. Okay, another point about the film editing. So we've already seen Vice and it was trash, period. So I think what Spike Lee did here is the example of what Vice wanted to be,
yes,
but couldn't do, because they did that Alec Baldwin thing in the beginning, that cutaway to some random ass person. They did like info stuff right in the middle.
There was a speech. I'm forgetting who it was, but there was a speech as a way to spread hate. Like,
yeah, it,
All I wrote was that speech about politics as a way to spread hate.
Yes, they were it was David about getting Duke.
Someone to the White House. And I yeah. was like, this is predicting where we're at, it's making my skin crawl.
It was Ron and his
one of the police.
His chief, right? The
It wasn't his chief.
His boss. No.
It was his boss, but it wasn't the chief. But it was like his first boss. Yeah.
Sergeant?
Maybe. Sergeant. Yeah, I think it might have been
I don't know cop words.
Not the captain.
Not.
Maybe it was a captain.
I'm going off of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay, so in that case, it was sergeant and then captain.
Yeah. It was Terry. Holt.
Captain Holt.
It was Terry. It's exactly what they were talking about. And I think that what makes this movie so impactful is that it's not of a time of today, but it has immediate, direct, real life connotations to right now. Because David Duke was like, oh, yeah, there's a reason why they call it the organization. Mm-hmm. Because they want legitimacy. They want legitimacy that they don't have because, like, oh, yeah, we're not, like, racist, violent people anymore. We're an organization, which you're still racist and violent.
Yeah.
But they wanted to be taken seriously. And so you see the little path of where it went there.
Yeah, because I think he says to him, like, if you really believe that, then, you know,
if you're really
you're too naive or something like that.
Yeah, you're too naive to think that that's not possible.
Yeah.
To think that we can't get somebody in the White House.
Yeah, a racist president.
That's what he tells him. Yeah. He's like, you can't be that naive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So I think everyone did a really great acting job in this.
I agree.
But I never would have thought that I would see Topher Grace.
Right?
As David Duke.
Which I love the little trivia that he had such a hard time playing David Duke and it sat so heavy with him that in order to unwind and get his mind off of it, he sat down and re-edited all three, I think, Hobbit movies into one.
What?
That's so random. It has nothing to do with this.
I remember listening to a podcast and he was talking about like how he likes to re-edit things and put things back together. And
it's kind of like interesting. It's kind of like Legos or something.
Like a puzzle.
And putting it together.
Yeah. So he did that with the three Hobbit movies. He re-edited them into one movie while he was doing this to kind of
all right then
chill.
Yeah. You know what I do love too also? Mm. Adam Driver's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here's my question to both of you.
Oh, did you write down what I said? Okay.
Is Adam Driver hot or is he just tall?
I think he's hot.
Anna thinks he's hot. I can't decide. This
is what Crystal said the other night.
I said, is he just hot or is he tall? I don't really know. I don't.
Because a lot of girls are like, oh my God. He's like 6. Not just with Adam Driver, but with other guys that are really, really tall.
You know what it is? Maybe they're too tall. They can't see them properly. So like from the angle. From the angle they're looking, they're like, oh yeah, he's hot. But when they get face to face, they're like, oh no.
I mean, I think
he's a very interesting face.
He does have, it's not.
It's very intriguing. It's not commercially like.
No, but I think.
Conventionally handsome.
What he brings to the table makes him attractive.
He's such a good actor.
He's a handsome man.
He's so intellectual and he's so. Like after I heard his TED Talk, I was like, I'm in. You can.
His TED Talk was
then
amazing.
You're in love with his intelligence more than his face.
I'm in love with it all.
Shirtless
Kylo Ren scene. Yes, please.
Oh, no. See, that didn't do it for me. I was like, no. Put your shirt on, buddy.
Didn't do it for me either.
Where's Oscar Isaac? Bring him back in here. Where's he at? Bring him back in here.
It didn't do it for me either because it was just so awkward and didn't feel right.
He needed to be, I mean, he was a little too pasty, but whatever. It's fine. No, but I just think he's such a great actor. And initially when they were like, it's kind of messed up that the only white guy is getting the acting nomination. I thought that kind of sucks. But then watching it.
Yeah, I get it.
I totally get it. He was so good. That whole thing he says about passing.
Yes.
It's so interesting because I totally felt everything he was saying.
Me too.
Like, yeah. I didn't think it was, I was just living my life. Like, we didn't practice Judaism. I was just another white kid. And then all of a sudden now it's all in my face. I'm having to like think about who I am, what it means to be me.
I have to deny it out loud every day.
Yeah. And it's just like, everything he was saying in that scene was.
I said I totally understand how he feels.
And I love that they're partners in this like obviously they got to rely on each other a lot, but I think that I love that scene that where he confronts him in the records room or the records hall or whatever, and he's like, don't you have stake in this too, like they don't like you either, does that not matter to you, did you never think about that? And that's so interesting to me because I've from a very young age I've like noticed these things and thought about these things and maybe not started to voice them out loud until later. But I was just like, it's clear not everybody gets treated the same. And just, it doesn't matter what you bring to the table. Sometimes some people are going to have it easier than other people.
Yeah.
And whether you notice it or you admit it or not, there's a certain like privilege to that. The privilege of passing, the privilege of whatever. Because he's even like, yeah, some light-skinned black folks try to pass as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they know it's going to be easier. And yeah, that might not be good, you know, for your soul. But
I was reading in a review about this movie and the author was saying like, that scene made me think about her uncle. She was saying like her uncle, because he was light-skinned, passed as like, you know, a white man. And she wonders like, was he... Maybe he was safer, but was his soul fulfilled?
Yeah.
Like, did his soul suffer because of that?
Right.
I'm like, that's a very interesting question. I never even thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it goes back to the code switching and the whole fact that like Ron Stallworth can get a membership card from the KKK saying I'm in this organization just because he can sound white on the phone. Which is such a like powerful thing. And
also it wasn't just because he sounded white on the phone.
No, I mean obviously he's like playing into what he's
that
doing.
That got him in the door, but
yeah.
He had to show and prove himself as Adam Driver in order to get the card.
I know, but still, I mean, without the call it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he had the balls to go and do that and then like
yeah, like his hustle. He was like, I just got a job here, but I wanna be a
I can do better. I know my potential.
Damn, all right.
And like when someone's like that ambitious and like that ready to go, you can't help but being like, okay, so are they just being like overconfident or are they being serious about it? Mm-hmm. So you give them a chance to prove themselves. And obviously he did.
Mm-hmm.
It just blows my mind. I think I've told this story before, but like my dad called me at work and like I answered the phone and I have a phone voice because I work in customer service. So I have to sound a certain way sometimes.
Mm. Shut up.
And so my dad, he was like, he just started cracking up laughing after I said my whole little spiel of like, hello, welcome to blah, blah, blah. And he was like, what? And he just like literally laughed at me for like 30 seconds. So I was like, okay, it's really funny. Thank you. And even John, the other day, he was like, oh, don't talk like that. You still sound like you're at work. And I was like, oh, sorry. Okay. Back to my normal self. let me unwrap. Let's unpack that.
So whenever they're talking about, that scene where, Ron is saying to Adam and the other guy, I forgot his name, Adam Driver, like, you know, he's a racist cop. Like, why don't you do anything about it? And he's like, because he says, we're family and right or wrong, we stick together. And he's like, well, that reminds me of another group.
Yes. And I was like, ooh. I was like, literally, you will work together and you will protect your own. But to what extent is that still correct?
Also, and like, if a member of your family kills a child.
Yeah.
No, that does not stand anymore. I'm sorry. No.
It only goes so far. Like, you've got to have the moral compass in you to be like, okay, I love you. I'm here for you. You're fucking up terribly. So please learn from this and correct it. Like, I get that you got his back, but at a certain point, that doesn't qualify anymore.
Also, ignoring someone's behavior does not mean you're family.
Especially when it's someone that has power.
Exactly. Because it's so easy to abuse that power. As you know, in the scene
as he did over and over again.
Yeah. The scene where he stopped them and he was like patting them down and whatever. And then, you know, went power crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I'm getting chills. Like, it's so gross. It's just fucking gross.
I think I've said this before, but like, I'm not a fan of the N-word. I never have been. Like, it's, I love rap music, but a lot of that is hard for me to listen to because that word makes me cringe. I just feel very uncomfortable. And so that was part of the reason why I was nervous watching this movie, because I knew it was going to happen. But when it happened, it wasn't as jarring because everything else was so jarring that I was like, oh, okay, well.
Yeah.
Literally every other scene, I was like, the entire like back half of the movie, I was like holding my breath. I was like, something's going to happen. Okay. Something's going to happen. I'm not ready for it. And it's going to be really bad. And I'm going to be upset. And oh my God, something's going to happen. Also, and then like, this is, so pathetic of me, like, watching this movie, like, I'm going to be upset. Like, people live this. People live this and still live this. And I'm like, I'm just going to panic on my couch.
And because we're not, you know, a certain race, we live it to an extent as well.
Yeah. And, like, there's, you know, there's different.
Not as bad, obviously, but.
Yeah, there's different.
We have our own version.
Everybody's got their own issues. Everybody's got.
Yeah, you know, and then people, if you're an empathetic person at all, like, you're gonna feel it.
Yeah,
right.
And I'm like, so sensitive.
We're all crybabies here. Let's be honest. This is a table of crybabies.
That was the alternate name of the podcast.
Crybabies.
Yeah,
that would be accurate. How many times have we done that? But okay. So there's so many lines in this that are like clear, like ties back to present time. And I think one of the ones that David Duke said, he was like, America to achieve its greatness again.
Yes.
I like,
I wrote, this is what I wrote. I said, was America ever great? The more we watch these movies, the more I think not.
Yeah. If you look back on the history of America, America was built on the blood and tears and bones of other people, disenfranchised people that still have not gotten their due, that are still like fighting to get, you know, water and their water not to be poisoned, and fighting to mm-hmm. not get shot every other day and like be treated equally under the eyes of the law. And America has never been great. America has had some good points, has done some good shit. And all this of like, oh, you know, Lady Liberty welcomes everyone with open arms. Where did that go? Clearly, Lady Liberty has been selective, or somebody's trying to select people before they get to Lady Liberty. It's just, no.
Have y'all ever heard of that movie, The Birth of a Nation, that they were watching?
I didn't know of it until the scandal with the remake.
Well, I think that was, I don't think it was a remake, it was different.
It was like the same idea. And that's why it was called.
Because one of them was called The Birth of the Nation. One was just Birth of the Nation. I can't remember which one was which.
I thought they were like the same idea, just different.
I don't know. Stories. I just know that they're different. I forgot. But
I'd never heard of it.
No. I'm gonna Google. It's that whole scene. I was so uncomfortable. Like, I couldn't. I was like trying to hold in all this emotions I was having, because, you know, I probably could have just cried because I was at home by myself. Well, Anna was in a room, but I was at home and was in the living room by myself. I probably should have, but I didn't.
Excuse me.
I don't know. I just couldn't do it, and it was just all like bottling up here in my chest, and I was like giving myself a headache. Like, it was not good, and I think it was very effective to have Spike Lee having it, having the Klan watch the movie and cut with the.
Yeah,
Harry Belafonte like telling that story. That was also making me very uncomfortable.
It was so effective.
It was so heavy. Awful.
And like, that's a great directing choice, because you know extremes. You see like the result, not really to extremes, but you see the cause and the effect.
Lady the worst, but she also talks during a movie. How dare her?
God, her voice was the most annoying thing.
If I didn't hate her already, I extremely hate her. I hate you. This isn't Rocky Horror. Stop it.
Oh, my God.
I think
not the same. Sorry. My bad. Don't listen to me.
Oh, my God. I was right.
Fuck you.
So, speaking of Connie.
She's awful.
So, I think as far as, like, feminism goes and social issues and social justice goes nowadays, that being intersectional is critical. If you're going to fight for feminism, you're going to fight for everybody's rights, because that's just what it means. It just means equality. So seeing Connie on the fucking screen, I was like, this is fucking gross. I hate it. And it just goes to show that, like, white women are just as guilty of that mm-hmm. as white men. And they just get away with it a little bit more because people are more protective, you know, in quotes, of women. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, oh, they're innocent, they're pure, they're blah, 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 whatever.
Because even white women are more disenfranchised against white men.
Right. And like it, white women, and then, you know, women of color, and then like LGBTQ people, right. And then disabled people, whatever, all of this stuff. Like, if you're going to be a feminist, you can't just fight for white shit. You have to fight for everybody. That means you have to also take care of, you know, think about people of color and take their feelings into consideration. Think about disabled people and how, you know, these things affect them. Because
right.
think about everybody. You can't just say that it's just for you, or just because it's a win for you doesn't mean it's a win for everyone else.
Yeah.
This whole movie is about politics, so whatever.
Yeah, I feel I'm gonna
Google. Let me Google the number. You go ahead.
It's okay. So Felix is not smart enough to figure out the situation. Like when he was like, "Oh, he's a cop." Maybe I'm like, he's too so dumb. He would never figure that out.
Right.
Get out of here with you.
That I thought that was weird too. I'm like, why is he the only one that's putting the dots together?
I mean, he was already suspicious of him because he was like, "Oh, you're whatever he says."
Yeah.
To him in the beginning. So I guess maybe he just never let up. But how did he go from that to a cop? You know what I mean? That was annoying. Just a little bit. It was convenient.
I don't think necessarily that it was that he's smart, because obviously he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I think it's just that he's like really paranoid about everything, and so maybe. He might just like, oh, what, he's spying on us, blah blah blah, whatever.
I know it's a small choice, but I wish the other guy who
his friend, the dark haired guy.
Yeah, the dark haired guy would be like, oh, he's a cop, he arrested me. And that would have like Felix would like, in. Oh.
Not instead of it already being
he's a cop. Like, no, he's too stupid.
He's not that smart. That out.
No. It's also side note, Adam Driver is someone who should always have facial hair to me.
He's got a lot of face.
His face is very intense. He has a very, just it's, very interesting
he
face.
He looks better with facial hair to me. Because I saw a picture without it. I was like, oh, that's a, no. This is definitely something that, movie that had something to say.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, without a doubt. This is a conversation starter.
Yeah.
Yes. Going, this is
tracking
what,
back to Vice. But
this is what Vice wanted to be and didn't have the skill.
This is what Vice wanted to say but didn't
know how to.
Did not have the intelligence, did not have the power to say.
Also, yeah, because I feel like Spike Lee probably actually lived through, not this specifically, but like he understands the feeling behind it. Adam McKay did not. So no, that the
Adam
feeling
McKay
was
is so disconnected
the
from.
The feeling was missing behind that. So I think that was a big issue.
Okay, so it was 42% of white women voted for Donald Trump. Yeah. So white women that claim feminism, y'all gotta do better.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Let me see what else.
I was able to keep it together throughout the entire film.
Wow, not me.
Until the
amazing.
Very end. When it was
the newsreels.
When it was showing the newsreels. Oh, I just sat there and water was streaming out of everywhere. And I was like, this is not okay. That this movie is talking about.
Then.
And this was last year. This was 2 years ago. This is now.
And again, that's a testament to the editing, because the way that it weaves into it weaves all that into now. And you're like, oh, wait. Oh, this isn't the movie anymore.
It like put a knot in my stomach.
It made me so sick.
You know what it reminded me of? Two completely different subject matters. But while we're comparing Oscar movies, it was like that scene where Lady Gaga's at the end singing the song that Bradley Cooper writes for her. And then all of a sudden it cuts to Bradley Cooper. And I know it's completely not the same thing, but just for anyone who hasn't watched this movie but has watched A Star Is Born,
it's
that's
in the
what
category
it makes.
Of jarring cuts.
Jarring cuts. Yeah. Cuts that will literally cut you.
I don't know if I think I said this before, but I'm not someone who
it was a gut punch.
Yeah.
That's the word I was looking for.
The sucker punch.
I'm not someone who watches news. I read my news because I'm a very visual person and I don't need to see. Reading it is enough for me. I don't need to see it.
Yeah.
So a lot of those things I hadn't actually seen yet. Hmm. I just read it. So that was a lot for me. I couldn't do it.
It's so scary to think of how much power and influence some of these men have, because these men are now grown and you saw it. And in the end, it shows, you know, footage of David Duke talking at Charlottesville or whatever. And I'm just like, this is fucking gross, because he has politicians in his pocket. Doing whatever the fuck he wants. I'm sure he has tons of cops in his pocket, like governors, whoever the fuck. And like, they're making life hell for other people.
You know, like, remember how we, going back to the conversation starter, I really hope that people watch this and say, people who, I'm trying to like get my words together, watch this and go, that's what that is. Like, that's what I voted for. I hope they read this and go, or watch this and go, oh no, that's not good.
Because, like, a lot of times people can't connect the dots. People, going back to the 2016 election, I had tons of people that, like, voted for Trump. Not tons. There was a few people that voted for Trump, and they were like, no, I'm not. It's not because I'm racist or sexist or blah, 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 or a rapist or whatever.
Right.
It's just because, you know, this is better. This is my decision. And you know what? Okay, I'm going to respect your decision. And what I'm not going to respect is how fucked over everybody that is not someone that he likes is going to be. Right. How it has screwed so many other people over in little ways and small ways, in literally laws, literally people in the Supreme Court.
I mean, look at people now getting their taxes back. It's simple like that. Like, last year they got, I saw some posts, I was like, last year I got $340 and this year I owe $2,000.
Right. Like it's you think it's not going to affect you. You think it doesn't matter. Are you not empathetic? Are you not a compassionate person that you only care about you and your own, and you don't care about what happens to everyone else? Because, like, honestly, I don't care if I have to pay a little bit more in taxes if other people have, like, a home to live in and are not living on the street. Maybe because I'm such a, like, I soak up emotions. Maybe I don't understand how you could not care.
And it's because what happens
to other people.
It's more of like out of sight. Like, maybe they think it's out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
Doesn't affect them in their daily life. Then, like, it doesn't really matter, you know.
Which brings it up. Like, a lot of people here in the last few years are like, oh, I don't really care about voting. I don't really care about politics. It doesn't affect me. Well, great. You're privileged enough that you know, the laws that these people are making that are fucking up other people's lives don't affect you. Like, congratulations.
And really, like, everything affects you. Like,
you can't. Yeah, you can't say it doesn't affect you.
Again, you can't be that naive. Come on.
No, you pay taxes to the government.
You live in this country and you work and you're.
There's housing laws. There's employment laws.
You live here. You work here. You go to school here. Education. It literally affects you no matter what you do.
You can ignore it and leave that decision up to somebody else. Let someone else make your life choices to you.
A lot at once, but it'll affect you a little bit at a time. And that's still affecting you.
And it builds up.
Yeah. And, like, how dare you? How dare you have the audacity to be like, well, I don't really care about other people, so I'm just gonna, you know, vote for my own shit.
Yeah.
Because it's not your own shit. Do you want this planet to still be here in 20 years? All right, vote better.
And Crystal, kind of to what you were saying, is you hope people that watch this, you know, kind of see the errors in their ways. But I know the people that need to see this aren't going to.
And that's true. That's the unfortunate thing.
You're right.
People are going to see the trailer for this movie, see the name of this movie, and be like, that's not for me.
Right. And
I know, but I think, I don't know how you can, I don't know.
It's so hard because, like, exactly, like, the people that should be seeing this, the people that we should be having these conversations with, are not open to that. They're just, like, set in their ways, and that's it, and that's how it's done, and, you know, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And it just means, like, you should be making your own informed decisions. You should do your research. You should, you know, read the news and do what you need to do. Actually, Fried Puppy that posted this on Instagram, and it's a James Baldwin quote that I had read a long time ago. And it says, we can disagree and still love each other unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial of my humanity and right to exist.
Ooh.
Because if you don't care about black people, if you don't care about people of color, if you don't care about the LGBTQ community, disabled people, refugees, anything like that, like, you better research your heart.
So this is the most politics I've ever discussed, and I hate it. I hate everything about it so much. Not just, I hate talking about it. Ugh. 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 I hate it.
I just hate that we're having this conversation, and I don't feel a glimmer of hope.
I just hate this conversation.
you know?
Yeah. And
because even if things governmentally and non are going to change, it's not going to be tomorrow, and it's not going to be the next day.
And, you know, it's so easy to take 10 steps back, mm-hmm. but like one step forward is so much harder. And you know what? We're already seeing the consequences of this, and we're going to keep seeing it for a little while. And maybe even if the people that don't need to see this movie don't see this movie, okay. But I think you said it the last podcast, you were like, people, as far as karma goes, people get what they deserve. Mm. And so whoever, you know, you made your choices, you made your bed, now you sleep in it.
It'll hit you in the worst way that's for you.
Yeah.
And I honestly believe that. I really believe that you will get what's coming to you, and you're due, you know? Maybe I have to believe that makes me feel better. I don't know.
I mean, one way or another.
That's what any belief system is, though.
That's true. Yeah.
It's what we believe to make ourselves feel good.
I mean,
good.
Like, not to steer the conversation to religion, but, like, if you don't believe in God, that's okay. You just gotta believe in something, man. Like, the world's too scary and too hard to not believe in something. Whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, I hate this conversation. So I'm going to talk about how this movie is not accurate in terms of history, because in real life, two officers actually went undercover. It wasn't just Adam Driver's character. And there wasn't like a Jewish angle to it. That was, you know, for the movie. There wasn't a wife, like the whole thing with her bombing Patrice's house and all that. That didn't really happen. There was a wife, I think, because they, in Ron's biography, he said there was a wife at a meeting, and she was a wife of one of the clan members that hosted the meet. She hosted the meetings, and she was actually Mexican. So that's interesting.
So let's go ahead and search within ourselves, within our Latino community, anti-blackness. Hey, y'all, just be a little more sensitive.
And in the real life, the undercover investigation ended like abruptly, because it was a PR nightmare. They were in fear that it was going to be like a PR nightmare of the department. They didn't want anyone to find out. The local police was involved with the Klan, like, in any aspect. So just like, mm-hmm. oh, get rid of it. Don't talk about it. Mm. You know, and it only came out until he wrote his book.
Right. And I think it's a David Duke didn't find out until like 2006.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did love that last shot, though,
where he was like telling him.
He was like, "Ooh, yeah." So, what did he say?
Butter.
Ara.
Yeah.
Butter was the like, other movie. Sorry.
You fucking stupid bitch.
But
fuck
to
you.
Kind of end this on a different note, Crystal and I had dinner last night, and we came up with a new campaign.
Oh yes, happy times.
All right. What is it?
We were talking about inclusivity and representation, and we were talking about how, you know, this year for best director it's such a diverse
mm-hmm.
category, and we were like, you know, we wish there was some Asian representation in there, and how we hope next year this continues and there's more representation in every category.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were just talking about this on, and I forget how it came up, but if you've ever taken an acting class or an improv class, you know the term yes and. And so we were talking about, what's his name, hosting the Oscars?
Chris Rock. When Chris Rock hosted, it was shortly after Oscars So White.
It was that
around
year.
That time. And he was talking about, oh, white people, black people, whatever. And he made it a very black and white conversation. I think, and I even remember tweeting this out, like, it's important to realize that, like, it's not just black and white. Like, it's white and, like, everybody else. We have to remember that. It's very important. Because I remember he brought those little small cute Asian kids on the stage. And that was a mess, too. I forgot about that.
I vaguely remember that. I don't
know. Oh,
yeah,
to do, like,
ago.
Some math thing?
Yeah, like accounting stuff. Because they're
so
smart.
No.
No, honey. Yeah. You are not helping the situation.
No.
Yes, those kids were adorable, but this is not the right way. Because I had said that it was really cool to have, you know, Alfonso Cuarón, who is a Mexican, be nominated. And then, like, Spike Lee, who... First of all, bravo work, by the way.
Yes, stunning.
This, so this I, what I really honestly hope is for the Asian community to be represented just as well as my culture was. I'm so proud of my culture for being out here.
The last 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
And then
we're blessed.
At least you. The last 2 years, because then what's his name from Birdman as well?
Oh, yeah.
Alejandro.
Thank you. And then the Revenant. He's also to the Revenant.
Yeah.
So I love that it's like a Mexican woman. That's the next goal. So having the culture represented, that's great. And what I really, really want for the Asian community is to have that as well. I really, because Crazy Rich Asians was great. For what it did, it broke barriers as well. I hope that they equally get their aroma, their beautifully crafted, artistic piece of work.
Yeah,
that represents their culture. I want that for them so much. And so Anna had said, like, that should be the name of the campaign. The campaign should be yes and. Yes, like, this is great.
Yes.
And we need more.
And more.
Oh.
So hashtag
bitch,
yes
we
and.
We got to start hashtagging hashtag yes and. Yes. And you know what? It's kind of starting just a little bit, just because I heard a lot about shoplifters in the awards chatter.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah, that's
and Steven, is it Steven Yeun?
Yeah.
Is that the one he's in?
Yes. Yeah.
I did not. I thought it was called something else.
I'm pretty sure it's that. Can you Google real quick? I'm pretty sure
it's
that one.
I'm even more excited then. Okay. That's great.
And I was like, yeah, we're making some big ass leaps here. Big leaps.
Yeah.
Do we need more? Yes.
Yes. And.
Yes. And.
Yes. This is great.
And let's include some more.
Yes. Women as well, please.
I think my favorite quote from the whole movie was, all power to all the people.
Oh, yes. My favorite thing is that they couldn't like hang up the phone without there being like power to all people. And then there was like another saying and then another saying. And then they finally hung up. I was like, just hang up the fucking phone.
No, we're empowered. Power to the people.
No, that's not the movie he's in.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. What's the movie?
I think it's a documentary.
No, but it's a.
No, it's not. Just kidding.
I can't be.
What did he do? God. I know he was there.
I watched the trailer. I'm looking very interesting.
Is it at Sundance? Not Sundance.
No, it's already been out.
No.
Hold on. Let me look.
Sorry, America. This is the lull in the podcast.
La, la, la.
Listen
la,
to
la,
AMS. La, la. Was it?
What she said. Was it burning? I think.
Yes, it was burning. That's what it was. One word. To be on that list.
So where does according Black Klansman fall within the movies we've seen?
So this director's race is hot.
Oof.
It is there.
Had you ever seen a movie of his before?
Sadly, no. Me God, neither. I'm so uncultured.
No, I mean,
I don't know.
What did we grow up? What's the word? Sheltered. We were sheltered.
We were very sheltered.
It's a little different.
Spies shooting down the street. Bah humbug.
What?
Rent anybody?
No.
Bah humbug.
We grew up very sheltered in a very sheltered household. Yes. In very sheltered households. So we weren't allowed to watch a lot of stuff.
So now
we're watching it as adults.
Just assume I haven't seen it because it's probably true. Yeah. So where does Vice, oh my God, ew.
Ew, get that word out of your mouth.
Where does Black Klansman fall within the best pictures
that you've seen? Before we get to that, where does it fall for original score for you? Since you've been listening to all the scores.
That's a great question. Oh, hold on. This Black Klansman, Black Panther, Bill Street, Isle of Dogs. I haven't heard Isle of Dogs yet, but I've heard Black Klansman, Black Panther, and Bill Street could talk. That's really hard because Bill Street is very beautiful and epic and long and gorgeous and innovative and different. And it's a character all its own. And I'm torn between those because they're so good but so different.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Yeah, because this was good, but it was good for the movie.
Same thing for Bill Street.
And Bill Street also. Like, I could hear. It was just. I haven't heard Isle of Dogs yet, so I'll get there.
Right. So, how about adapted screenplay?
Okay.
It's this.
I just want Barry to win.
He's got to win something.
Justice
right?
for Barry.
Justice for Barry.
So, he. Oh, oof, okay. Best Yay. Adapted screenplay.
Well, that's really hard. Yeah. That's
I'm
hard.
Gonna,
me too.
It was so beautiful.
This director category, though, now I'm torn.
I really want to see Cold War.
Me too. But Spike Lee and Alfonso Cuarón are like tied
for obvious reasons. But the amount of detail he went into and work he went into to produce, he shot his own movie. Like, he was his own cinematographer. I think because of that, and that's not to say that Spike Lee didn't do the amount of work that
Alfonso Cuarón just did, like, literally everything.
It's the tipping point.
Yeah, he did. He was doing the most, and you can tell. I think I said that in the actual Roma episode. But yeah, I think Spike Lee, fantastic job. This is great.
Now I want to go and watch all the Spike Lee films.
Yeah. He did Netflix show, didn't he?
He did the movie She's Gotta Have It. Yeah, he did the Netflix show.
Okay.
She's Gotta Have It.
I didn't watch it.
I just remember
I heard about it vaguely.
I just remember seeing Spike Lee joint on there.
And Netflix shows, like, they I hear them once and then they just disappear
into because there's a Netflix infinity. Of them.
Yeah, there's too many. Netflix, slow down, please.
I mean, if Spike Lee were to take it for Alfonso Cuarón, I wouldn't be mad.
I wouldn't be mad at it. No.
I mean, he's really the only one that can take it from him, I think.
As far
as, although as far as we know, yeah.
Yorgos Lanthimos was really great, too.
He was.
He was. But
let's let them all win.
No, I want Anna McKay to win.
Everyone gets a trophy.
Ew, Anna McKay cannot win.
Just kidding. Minus him. He gets a...
No, I really
he's the Glenn Coco. And then for you, Glenn Coco.
Right. I honestly think Alfonso's going to win because he's so, over the edge to me. Yeah.
I wouldn't be mad if they were, like, course correcting and gave Spike Lee a director, though.
Yeah, and they might because they want to be, they want everyone to get
a... Like, if you wanted this to be right, why didn't you just make it fair in the first place and give him an award 20 years ago?
Or why didn't you just nominate Bill Strugatalk for Best Picture? But whatever.
Bitch. That's what we've been saying.
Hollywood.
Okay, so now Best Picture. Our rankings.
Okay.
Roma still number one for me. And then these same. Three, The Favorite, Black Klansman, and A Star is Born, are literally interchangeable.
So, Anna, this is totally Anna. She cannot decide ever.
I decided on Roma.
But your number two is actually four.
I have written down Roma, The Favorite, Black Klansman, A Star is Born. But I feel wrong having A Star is Born down as number four. And so I'm like, you know what? It could be number two, and I would be okay with that list. And you know what?
I think the Black difference Klansman is because it was a good movie but didn't have anything to say, whereas there was clearly these other ones that had something to say.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean it's a bad movie. It was very well made, very well crafted, very well acted, but the message, it was simple.
Yeah.
And it wasn't maybe not impactful enough as, you know, Black Klansman or Black Panther even.
Because the messages in these in Black Klansman, Black Panther and Roma are so like so intense.
But not in your face about it either. Well, I mean, Black Klansman was a little bit towards the end. But I feel like there was no way he could have done that and not been in your face about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
His actions fit the situation, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's.
I think this movie was exactly what it needed to be. If you included
it, it would have been wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. As much as I hated to watch that. And you can't unsee things. And like, I would have had so many nightmares had I gotten to bed right away.
That was the most stressful ending of a movie that I can remember in a long time.
It made me so sick. And I thought like, why am I complaining? It's just, I didn't live through that. I should shut up.
That's what I thought too.
That's what I kept thinking in myself. Like, shut up, girl. Like, what are you...
You're sitting here on your couch watching.
Yeah, you're sitting pretty. It's AC. You're sitting on a couch. And you know what? You're in your PJs. Like, shut up.
Like, that's why we have to work even harder to, like, speak up for people who are not allowed to speak up.
That's a good point.
Or who don't have the chance to do it.
Yeah.
Being an ally is work. And if you have the privilege to speak up for, you know, Black people or that's a disabled person or whatever, like, you better fucking do it and you better have their back.
So, Joy, what's your...
Until she listens to the Star Wars soundtrack.
Shut up. Change. Oh, my God. No, I love it. Keep going. I'm going to pick one, too. Ready, set, go.
Alone in my head.
I ran.
Okay, Joy.
She runs from our problems.
So. I think since I just saw it before I put The Favorite.
Okay.
And I think I'll put it before A Star. Because you're right. It has the... The message is so clear, and the message hurts, and the message makes...
Do it.
The message makes me want to save the world.
And that's what... Again, this is what it should be. It should motivate you to get involved.
Fight for what's
and
right.
Fight and be...
At the end of this podcast...
Woke, as the kids say.
Everybody...
Is running for
office.
For
1 minute, stand in the superhero pose. And just feel yourself. Feel that power, and then use it.
So people listening,
we're good.
We are sitting at our dining room table and the window, we have the what's it called? The curtain fell down. So I just threw it away because it was getting on my nerves. And so it's at night. So people can see through a window. So I wonder if people are watching us.
I hope so.
I hope not. Oh, God. I look a mess.
We're fine. They don't care. So did you finish your ranking? I'm sorry.
Yes, I did. Okay. Roma and then Black Klansman.
That was a big.
And then A Star is Born. And then The Favorite?
And The Black Panther?
Oh shit, fuck. I saw black and then I put them together.
Wow.
My bad.
Joy's the problem.
Wow.
Wow.
Ouch, man.
I'm going to put The Favorite and Black Panther together on the same spot.
Mm-hmm. God, you're such an Anna.
Kate doesn't have for nothing. Well, she has two, but definitely have
Black,
six.
Black Klansman is number two. So.
Okay, three. All right.
So, okay, Roma, Black Klansman, A Star is Born, Black Panther, The Favorite.
Okay. And then Bohemian Rhapsody. That we
and then Vice at the very
And then Trash.
End.
Bohemian Rhapsody and then Vice.
They're not even on this list. I don't count them.
Okay, so
I will sing Queen 24 hours
Queen,
a day.
Queen.
24 hours
just
a day.
Just not with the movie.
But not with the movie.
On the album.
Just album. I'll put the album on repeat now.
Okay, so me is Roma. Because still, as, I mean.
Yeah.
To the heavens. Roma, and then
I love how every time you say to the heavens, she actually like points and shows us the heavens
in case we forgot.
Yeah, we don't know where
sometimes
heaven is
sometimes, you guys.
The heavens,
forget. I mean, I'm here, so you could easily get confused.
Wow. You are Jesus.
I mean,
you share a birthday.
Oh, and everyone knows. Okay, so Roma, they don't know shit.
We talked about it on the Christmas episode.
Shut up. I remember now. Okay, shut up, everybody.
I probably forgot by now because I did too.
Roma.
And my birthday's July 6th and Joy's December 13th.
Like Taylor Swift.
No, I like Friday the 13th. Frida Kahlo. I was born on Friday the 13th.
you were born on Friday the 13th?
Yes.
That makes all the sense in all the world.
Oh my God. But you're scared of stuff.
That's why.
I'm scared of myself.
She was born into the
damn. Room. I just psychoanalyzed myself. Let's pack that back up. Pack it up. Pack it up. Pack it up. Crystal, what's your list?
I got deep real quick. Okay. So Roma.
You're going to have three number twos?
No, because I'm not a child. Black Klansman is going to be. I mean, I'm not compared to all three. Compared to two of you, I'm the oldest one here. Okay, so.
You are technically
shut
the
up.
Oldest?
Everybody shut up. Know. Okay, okay, so
she's
Roma.
Her old lady status.
Roma. Don't tell me to shut up. Well, I'm trying to give you my ranking, but you won't shut up so I can tell you.
You called me a child. I'm being one.
Aren't you the youngest one here? You're literally the child, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank
the
you.
The vine. Okay, so Roma's your number one.
First. Black Klansman.
Oh, really?
Yes. Black Panther is three.
Damn. Yeah, girl.
A Star is Born is four. No. The Favorite is four.
Ooh.
Again, I feel bad putting The Star is Born so far down. But really, it's Black Panther. I'm sorry. Really, it's Roma and If Beale Street Could Talk.
So. Right.
Top two.
If Beale Street Could Talk is the invisible number two.
Yes.
Yes. It's 1.0.
1.5?
1.5.
1.0? 1.5.
1.0?
That's one.
Well, it is one. It should be.
For me, it's 1.1. It's one.
I would say
1.7634.
And I'm going to go with 1.5, the original one.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. For the rest of my life, I'm going to be thinking Beale Street Could Talk should have gotten an Oscar nomination for Best Picture. For the rest of my life, that's what I'm going to think.
It's going to be that.
Every award season, this is what I'm going to think.
It's going to be the same as that post about La La Land winning Best Song over Moana.
Oh, I forgot how angry that made me. Oh,
you're
no.
welcome.
No,
La La Land made me so angry.
No,
it probably no, so
Jamal,
much
you
happy.
I didn't even hear what you said.
Every time she says you tripping or tripping something, I always come back at her with no, Jamal,
you be tripping.
The most awkward line I've heard come out of Emma Stone's mouth ever. But yes.
The best line of the whole movie. I'll watch it again just for that line.
Actually, we're going to watch it. I'm just going to fast forward to that.
You always say that. We never do any of that.
No, we don't.
We're going to watch it after podcast.
Never happens.
Yeah, that's my... And Spider-Verse is, like, in there, too.
Ooh, I would totally put Spider-Verse in there, too. Shit. Oh.
It doesn't matter because it's not really here. But I think I was...
Also, Widows.
Oh, Widows, yeah. Widows is, like, honorable mention.
Oh, okay. So... Adam Driver for supporting actor.
Oh, okay.
The supporting actor race. Did you just nay? Did you nay, bitch, nay?
Oh, my God.
That was recorded. I'm going to go back and listen to that.
It was a natural yes. Nay, bitch, nay.
That's amazing.
Wow. We really do
you
nay.
You should ISO that and put it as your ringtone.
Oh, my God. That should be our opener.
When she texts you.
I quit.
So, Adam Driver, his beautiful face for you.
I feel like we should have this discussion next.
Why?
Oh, yeah, that's true, because then we will have right. seen all of them. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. So, yeah, that's enough about that.
So, Black Klansman.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Done.
Amazing. Amazing. Both Crystal and the movie.
Oh, I'm like having this pain in my boob.
You have a pain in your chest and you can't breathe?
I can breathe.
It's because she neighed too hard.
I did. Don't we all?
All right, guys. I think we're
the
good.
Stone lay. The yeah, stone nay.
The stone nay.
Okay, I think we're good.
I'm so glad we went back to positive. Please. Here's hope for the future.
Yes, thank you. Laughter is
educate
good.
Yourself.
Please. Okay.
Justice.
Bye.
Black Lives Matter. Woo! Bye.